Kiddushin Dav Zayin Omer Aleph. Thanks everyone for coming, especially in this raid. So we're starting here on the two dots, the first of the wide lines. Omar Rava, Hiskachi Li Lechetzi, which means that I want you to be married to half of me. Hold your questions, because this is a complicated sugya, but after we get our feet wet, well, I don't mean wet outside, but wet inside, we'll try to get try to peel off the layers of the sugya. Hiskachi li lechetzi. So Rava says mekudeshes. This is not the first time on the page that Rava said mekudeshes. In fact, I think it's the fifth, if my count is correct. He seems to be all in favor of kiddushin, but here's his one limitation. Chetzieich mekudeshes li eina mekudeshes. This already crosses all the red lines. If he says, I want to marry half of you, that's not valid. And it's an all or nothing thing. It's not like he can marry half.
Who wants to marry half of whom?
So again, in the first case, he wants to marry him half of himself off to her. In the second case, he wants to marry half of her. So let's see, again, we're going to go through this, if you have patience, we'll go through it a few times over.
The whole thing is
well, we'll see it a few times over. Amalei Abaye, Amalei Abaye L'Rava. I don't understand. You're not being consistent. Maishna chetzech mekudeshes li di'ena mekudeshes. In the last case that you brought down, you want to marry half the woman. It's not valid. Apparently, isha amar rachmana. Rashi says ki yikach ish isha. What's isha? Isha amar rachmana v'lo chatzi isha. So therefore, you exclude a marriage to half an isha. Hachinai, let's be consistent. Back to your first case. What did you say that lechetzi, half the man, is mekudeshes, it's valid? Ish amar achmana, velo chatzi ish, in the very same pasuk, you darshan ish, if you darshan isha velo chatzi isha, why not interpret ish velo chatzi ish? Let's be consistent. And now at this point, it seems that Rava, in a sense, backtracks. What do I mean by backtrack? He's not willing to change his ruling. But the approach has to inject another element here, and that is, what did the man mean? Meaning, until this point, Abaye was attacking Rava and Rava's statement only at the level of abstract, meaning, we're not concerned with what he means, but with what he said. And what he said in both cases was chetzi, whether he said chetzi isha in the second case, or chetzi isha in the first case, both equally violate the rule of ki yikach ish isha, meaning a full ish and a full isha. But now the Gemara takes a different approach. Amale, Rava responds to Abaye. Hachi hash. The hachi hash is always an explanation, an introduction to an analysis. Let's analyze and see if we can distinguish. Hasam, in the case where a man says, Chetzieich mekudeshes li, I'm only marrying half of you, meaning I'm leaving the other half out of our marriage. Isisol lebeitrei lo chazia. A woman to marry two men is not a possibility. Meaning, chetzieich mekudeshes li, when a man marries half a woman, at this point in the Gemara interprets it thusly. I'm going to marry half of you, I'm going to let someone else marry the other half. And we'll have one woman married off to two men. The Torah doesn't recognize such a thing. It's an absolute impossibility. Says Rashi, Isisol beitrei lihinase lahem I efshar, to be married to two men is impossible. Hilkoch, therefore, hai lo kodesh elapalga, this man who wants to marry half, v'chetzio nishar li acher, and he wants to leave the other half for someone else, in Cain, ain't a mekudeshes lozesh. He's not even mekudeshes to this guy. He can't marry half in such a way that he's leaving her other half to marry someone else. The whole enterprise, from its inception, is totally unacceptable. It's invalid. It's null and void. But let's take the first case where a man says, "You, Leah, should be married to half of me, Reuven." What is the meaning of marrying Leah, marrying half of himself to Leah, Ela Gavra? But for a man to say, well, half of me is not jumping into this marriage, Milo Chazi Lebeitre, is it impossible for him to marry two women? The Hachi Kamala. And here's how we have to interpret his words. De'i ba'ina, if I decide, if I choose, leminsav achriti, to marry a second woman, nasivna, I'm going to take advantage of that possibility. So let's see if we can go back to the beginning of the sugya. Now we're going to start the sugya again. We're on Daf Zayin Omer Aleph, Zayin, and we're going to start from the first of the wide lines. And we're going to analyze the sugya of Rav and Abai now from a more conceptual, analytic approach, and try to get a grasp on what's going on. The first of the wide lines on Daf Zayin. Omer Rav.
Here it is.
So Omer Rav, his kachi li lechetzi. I want you, Leah, to be married to half of me. Mekudeshes, that's valid. Chetzech mekudeshesli, but if he wants to marry half of Leah, ain't a mekudeshes, that's invalid. Abaye thinks that this is what we call exeris hakosuf. This is the alfusa, a derivation from the Torah, based on the pasuk ki yikach ish isha. And therefore Abai thinks that since both Ish and Isha are mentioned in that very same pasuk, we have to apply them consistently. Amale Abai l'Rava. Abai objects to Rava. Maishna chetzyech mekudeshesli. Tiena mekudeshes. Apparently Isha amrachman of lochatzi Isha. Why do you disqualify the marriage in the second case, where he tried to marry half a woman? This is based on the fact that the Torah says you have to marry a woman, meaning a whole woman. This is a classical drasha. We find this all over Shas, that whenever the Torah mentions a noun, that noun means the entirety of that object, not half. Well, says Abai, let's apply the same principle to the case of the Ish. Hachinami, Ish amrachmana velo chatzi Ish. In the very same pasuk, ki yikach Ish Isha, so Ish means not half an Ish. How could he possibly jump in half of himself into the marriage? She'll be married to half of him. The other half is outside the marriage. It means, I think, in conceptual terms, you can't create half of an Ishus. You can't take a person, split him in half. I don't care if you split him vertically, horizontally, bekamus or viechus. You can't say the top half or the bottom half. Right? What you have to do is somehow qualitatively decide that half of the Ishus is Chal. You can't have half an Ishus, neither from the position of the Miskadeshes, nor from the position of the Mekadesh. The Torah views marriage as an all or nothing kind of Ishus. Omalei, so Rava says, no, you misunderstood me. When I excluded this Sefer of Isha, it wasn't based on the Pasuk. It was based on the impossibility of what this man had in mind to create. What was his goal? He wanted to, in a sense, change the rules of marriage. Hasam isisol beitre lo chazia. When he says to her, I want to marry half of you, he means to say, I want to share the burden of your marriage with someone else. Let someone else marry your other half. That's not acceptable. Ella, but in the case where a man says half of me is married to you, meaning the other half of me is going to marry someone else, gavra milo chazil beitre, isn't it so that a man could marry two women? Vahachi kamarla, and this is what he meant to say to her: de'i ba'ina, if I so desire lemesiv leminsav achrite nasivna, I will go ahead and marry another woman. And at this point, my friends, we have to see the Ritva. Did everybody get a copy of the page with the Ritva on it? No? Here's a copy of the page. And the Ritva, I underlined there on page 2. I hope everyone has a copy. I was very optimistic about the weather change, so I made a bunch of copies. And the Ritva says the following. Hachi ka'amar lo. Do you see it in the middle of page 2? Iba'ina leminsa v'achriti nasivna. If I so choose, I'll marry another woman. Pirish. Says the Ritva, v'af al gav. And even though dibalav hachi, without his stipulating this condition, dibalav haitno, without this condition, motzi ovid hachi, he should have the right to marry another woman. Why does he have to ask permission from the Miskadeshes and notify her that his intention is to marry a second wife? So the Ritva answers based on a sugya in Yevamos. The Kaimalon, because the Gemara establishes in Masechta Yevamos, no se adam kama nashim, v'hu meaning with the following stipulation, diyachal lemekam besipukayim. A man is only permitted to marry more than one woman if he has the wherewithal, he has the resources to support two women. Meaning, the Torah says, and this you'll find in Parshas Mishpatim, that part of the conditions of marriage, one of the conditions of marriage, is she'er. She'er means mezonos, means support. If he doesn't have the wherewithal to support another wife, according to the standards of that time and place, he's not permitted to marry another woman. Unless, says the Ritva, filu hachi, if he goes ahead at the time of the marriage and he stipulates explicitly, hedge means he says it outright, mishum shelo tehe kovelis olav, so that she should never have any sort of claim against him, any taromos in our heart, any sort of either moral or legal claim to sue him and say, wait a minute, what are you doing over here? You're marrying another woman, do you have enough money to support another wife? I'm going to be the one who suffers. And in such cases, this kind of a condition that he stipulates, that he's only marrying half, he's only marrying her off to half of him, it works for him, it helps him out. Kigon, for example, where legally he's not allowed to marry another woman because his first wife, his only wife at this point, has a right to put her foot down and object and block him from marrying another wife. He doesn't have enough money to support two wives. If, let's say, support for one wife is $5,000, support for two wives therefore would be $10,000. And then what's going to happen? He's got in his bank account $6,000. That's his total asset. So he's going to have to split the six if he gets married to another woman. So each woman and the first woman will get three. That's not enough. But if he stipulates at the time that he married Rachel, before he married Leah, not in the case of Lavan who switched it around, and he says to her, Rachel, I'm willing to marry you, but you should know, under all circumstances, I expect you to give me permission without any claim against me. You have to waive your rights to any claim. I will marry a second woman. If she goes in and accepts the condition under those conditions, then she can no longer come to court and claim against him. I'm going to get back to explain this in just a minute. Let me just read the second approach of the Ritva. Inami, another approach. Be Asra, even if he has enough money to support two wives, but there are places, Biasra is a place, Dinehigi, it's an accepted tradition, it's an accepted practice, Minak, Delo Minsav Elachada Issa, where only one woman and one woman only, Kigon, Elu HaRotzo Shalonu. It's very interesting because the Ritva lived after Rabbeinu Gershom, but Rabbeinu Gershom's Cherim, not to marry a second woman, was not imposed on the Sephardic communities where the Ritva came from, and therefore Rabbeinu Gershom, although again for Ashkenazic communities this was binding, but not for his community, but nevertheless he tells us, and this is a big chiddush, that even in his community, which was not affected, not included in the Cherem, in that that very strong, powerful authority of Rabbeinu Gershom, even then they weren't allowed to marry two women. Why? Because that was the minhag. The minhag, the accepted tradition, is binding. And by the way, this indicates I've heard people make comments, oh, it's only a minhag. Somebody was talking to me about Shavasa B'Tamos. He said, oh, it's only a minhag. Or Yontif Sheki Shagolis, it's only a minhag. Sometimes you hear people who are really ignorant in halacha, and they make those comments, they have no clue what the word minhag means and how important it is in Klal Yisrael. But here's a case in point, where the Torah allows him to marry another woman, and he's not allowed to marry another woman. Why? Kigon, says the Ritva, Elu Arotzo Shalonu, our countries, Demidina Motzi Ma'akev Aleha. Even according to strict law, she has the right to block him from Shalola Seit Isha Cheres Aleha, and that's the halacha in those areas. Even if they didn't have Cherem Dor Ben Gershom, nevertheless, a woman was allowed to say, you cannot marry another wife. If you do, you're going to have to pay all the finance, all the penalties, you'll have to divorce me. Or maybe they won't even find anyone who will be Masada Kiddushin. The rabbis will just object to it. They won't recognize another marriage. Kevan de Nogu Bekach, once that minig is instituted, then Adaiti de Hachi Insivale. Those are the conditions in which the marriage was affected. And he, by marrying her, has committed himself to such a marriage, to such a minog, to uphold and abide by that minig, and not to marry anyone else. Ukiila hisna imo domi, as if she stipulated, even though she didn't say a word, but it's understood, the minig determines the nature of the marriage. So let's just summarize the Ritva, and then I want to ask you a question. The Ritva says, why is it meaningful for a man to say chetzi mekudeshes, that half of me is marrying you? What does it mean? The Gemara says he's telling a story. He's telling her that he will want to marry another woman, and if he decides to do so, he will do so. What's the point? Says the Ritva, even though halakhically, again in his area of the world, he's allowed, according to the strict law, to marry another woman, a second wife, and he doesn't have to get rishus from his first wife. He doesn't need her waiving her rights. But that's only, he says, in certain particular circumstances. Number one, he has enough funds to support two wives. If he does not, then she, his first wife, his only wife, has the right to block him. Or number two, in certain countries where it was the accepted tradition to marry one woman and one woman only, and therefore, based on that tradition, the marriage has a built-in, assumed, tacit condition. You don't have to explicate it. It doesn't have to be stipulated. It doesn't have to be written up in any document. She has the right to block him from marrying another woman. Says the Ritva, in such circumstances, whether it's A, that he doesn't have enough money to support two wives, B, it's in a country where it's the accepted tradition, and therefore the inherent commitment on his part is not to marry another woman, in those circumstances, it would be meaningful for him to say to her, "Chetzi, only half of me is being mekadesh you, and the other half I'm going to marry another woman if I so choose." Don't come begging at the door. Don't come knocking and complaining and objecting. Don't try to block me. Don't try to say that I undermined you and you have taromas against me. You're accepting the marriage. If you do so, if you don't, I'm telling you right up front, then say no right now. Okay, so we'll take a pause here. I think this Ritva, just to finish up with the Ritva.
More on the Gemara than on the Ritva.
Right, we'll get back to the Gemara, but just to finish up on this Ritva. The Ritva is assuming that She'er Ksus V'Ona, which is how the Torah describes marriage, that's how the Torah envisions and designs marriage, is a responsibility of the husband, an obligation imposed upon him by the Torah through marriage, and a right or a privilege of a woman, of a wife. We could have had an entirely different approach. Setting the Ritva aside for a moment, we could have said the following, that when the Torah says She'er Ksus V'Ona, that's how the Torah designs marriage, not as a privilege of the woman, not as a responsibility thereof imposed upon the husband, but that's what Jewish marriage is. Meaning, maybe the Torah objects and is intolerant to another form of marriage. The nafkamina between the two definitions would be mechila. Does she have the ability to waive this law of She'er Ksus V'Ona? If, for example, mizonos comes to X amount and he can't live up to that if he marries another woman, can she waive that? Well, if we see mizonos as a monetary relationship, a financial agreement between two agreeable parties, then there's mechila, as we've said. Dina Momenus always lends itself to mechila. She could waive her rights. But if we're saying that She'er Ksus V'Ona defines the marriage, not just as a monetary obligation, but that's how the Torah envisions and designs and carves out marriage, you can't just play around with that and decide to change it.
I mean, there's certain obligations of the woman to her husband. And is that also being waived?
I don't know. How far?
If you're thinking of it as a financial transaction, you know, you and I want to go into business, and we decide, you know, who's putting up how much of the percentage of the money, and who's coming up with the ideas.
It could be that the Ritva is
do anything you please.
Right, the Ritva might be focused on the monetary aspect, and he's saying that that's something that she couldn't. You know, it's her demand, her right to demand, or to waive. But I'm just a little bothered by the following. I mean, could a man in his Maisa Kedusha, can he reinvent the wheel, so to speak, and design Kedusha in a way that's totally different than the way the Torah envisioned Kedusha? At least with regard to the monetary aspect, it sounds like the Ritva is allowing for that. Would the Ritva allow for the following? A man says to a woman, "Hare at mekudeshesli, almanas with a tnai, she'en lach alai she'er." Then you don't have any demand whatsoever for support. Can a man completely wipe himself off of any responsibility of supporting his wife? Again, assuming she accepts it. If she doesn't accept it, there's nothing to talk about. There is such a concept in Allah of masna al masha kasav b'Torah, that you can't change the Torah law. For example, if I would say I want to be a Nazir, but I want to drink wine, that's masna al masha kasav b'Torah. So there we understand, because
that's the definition.
Because that's the definition of Nazirus. You know, you're talking about an Isur, a ritual aspect of Torah. But here in Kiddushin, where we have an integration of both monetary aspects and Isur Veheta, the Ishus, the relationship, the intimacy, and so on, to what extent do we see the financial arrangement as something that you could play around with? Or do we say, no, the Torah defines marriage in that way, and you can't make it tonight to change it? That would be Masna al Masha Kosuv Batorah.
Look at where we started. The man pays a pruta or a dinar, depending on which shita you're working with. Okay? Whichever one you pick. If he decides that he wants to pay half a pruta or half a dinar, and she's willing to accept it, so is that kedusha?
No, no, absolutely not.
So, right. It's not exactly a bargaining thing, how we want to write up the contract, and, you know, here's the default, but we can change it. You're not allowed to.
No, but Lawrence, that's with regard to creating the kinyan. We're definitely limited by the definition of the Maisa Kedushin. What I'm asking is, besides the Maisa Kedushin, we have a concept called the Ishus. Ishus defines the relationship. Part of that relationship, part of that Ishus, is a financial responsibility. I just find this very surprising, and I'm going to think about it a little bit more, maybe not now, that the Ritva says that she can arrange it in such a way that that she won't get the mezonos that's coming to her. And I just don't know how they, he and she, have the ability to do that. Forgetting about the minhag, forgetting about mechila, all that is fine and dandy, but
what is the term?
Are you allowed to change?
What is defined as she'er? Does it have a monetary value or not?
I think she'er means that which is considered normally a minimum amount of money to support. We're not asking him to support her as a millionaire, you know, but within certain bounds. Maybe as a result
maybe
of
the 6,000 split between the two. Is
I'm just saying, but Ralph, maybe as a result of this kind of arrangement, she may have to go out and work for a living. Is that something that's acceptable? The Ritva says yes. She could waive her rights. He doesn't have any absolute obligations. It's not a ritual law that you cannot change. It's not changing the law of the Torah. But here I want to show you something else. This is very important. If you turn back to page 1, you'll see the Rashba. And the Rashba, in the name of the Ravid, raises a whole nother issue. Let's look once more at the Gemara and ask ourselves the following question. When a man says, "Hiskadshi li lechetzi," half of me, the Gemara says that from the perspective of the pasuk ish should tell me v'lo chatzi ish, just like isha v'lo chatzi isha, which means if he says "Hiskadshi mekudeshli," it doesn't work. Right? Because Isha v'lo chatzi Isha. So what about Ish v'lo chatzi Ish? What happened to that drasha? The Gemara says that what he meant to say, what he said, chetzi, right? Aram HaKudesh Zli l'chetzi, his kachi l'chetzi. What he had in mind is, I'm going to marry another woman. And we've worked it out that he wanted to get her permission and so forth and so on. Wonderful. But what happened to the pasuk of ish v'lo chatzi ish?
In fact, it's not chatzi. It's the whole of him to this woman and the whole of him to the other woman.
But what would be if he would say that half of me and nothing more is married to you? I have no interest in marrying another woman. You follow what I'm saying? What do we do with this pasuk of ish? Are we just dropping this pasuk of ish? Is the Torah never, ever excluding anything from ish? Chatzi ish? In the case of isha, the very same pasuk, you're excluding chatzi isha.
Without the
I understand.
Without the explanation of he wants to marry another woman, What's pshat chatzis?
I don't know. I don't understand. The Raiva doesn't spell that out. But Ralph, let's be abstract about it for the time being. Again, you know, we can't always answer all the questions at once, as you know that it takes patience. Yeah. Supposing a man would say to a woman, I have no intention whatsoever of marrying another wife. That's not what I'm interested in. That's my goal. It's not my ambition. I don't need any waving from you, nothing. But I want you to be married to half of me. Half of my person. Just like,
what does that mean?
I don't know yet what it means. So I'm asking, I'm begging you right now to be abstract.
It's ish and lechasi ish.
So what does that exclude? That's what I'm wondering. But I'm saying, if a man, I just want to know, halacha l'maaseh, you know, Torah v'lumud, and that's why I think the Ravid may be addressing. If a man said, in a way that's crystal clear, that this is what he means, I'm willing to take half of myself and marry you, I want you to be married to half of me, and I'm not interested in all these possible interpretations, would he be able to enter into a marriage in which half of him is married to him? Yeah, look at the right.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Let's read the right again. Rabosai, as you always know, our commitment here is to understand the Rishonim. So please, bear with me and try to explain the Rishonim. I didn't invent it. I didn't write it. You can't throw apples at me or tomatoes at me. But what does the Ravid mean? Everybody have the Ravid? Give me a minute. Let's read the Ravid and then we'll see what he means. Just the words. But cost of a Ravid, you have it? It's on the bottom of page 1. I mean, it's not so low because it's the first line.
40% up from the bottom.
Right. But cost of a Ravid, it's all the Ish. What do we do with the pasuk of the Ish? Limute Misha Chetzio Eved Vechetzio Ben Chorin. Says the Ravid, and again I'm adding a lot of words here to the Ravid's mouth, but if you object, please raise your objections. Says the Ravid, so after all said and done, we've studied this Gemara, we know it well, but what do you do with the word Ish? It cannot be that the word Ish doesn't lend itself to some mute, some exclusion, just like the word Ishak lends itself to an exclusion. Says the Ravid, very creative idea, that whom does this word Ish exclude? It excludes a case of a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, meaning an Eved Knani we're talking about, was owned by two masters, one of whom was Mafkir, he gave up on his ownership on half, the other was not. So the half that was let go through Shikrur becomes a Ben Chorin. He's a full-fledged Jew with all the dinim of a Jew. But yet half of him, whatever that means, again, I don't think it means you split him in two, but it's a kind of schizophrenia. Half of his personality, his agent, is an Eved. Because one of the two owners of this Eved refused to free his half, to release his half. What happens if such an individual, a chetzi eved, chetzi ben chorin, goes ahead and he's mekadesh an isha? Now, the maximum of his personality, so to speak, of his status as a gavra, as an agent, as a makne, as a kone, is half. So if he enters into a marriage relationship, only half of him is marrying this woman, says the Ravid. On that case, the Torah says, ish, and this marriage cannot be valid. Nireh, this is already the Rashba, who's trying to help us understand the Ravid. Shehu Zal, he, the Ravid, may he rest in peace. May his memory be blessed. Mifareh, she interprets, the Rava, hachi kama hadola. This is what he meant to respond to Abai's claim. Chetzeh mekudeshesli, hainu, chatzi isha. If he tries to marry half a woman, that's a chatzi isha. To come in mait rachmona, which the Torah excludes and invalidates, such a marriage cannot be recognized. Dal korcha chatzi isha mamashu de mekadesh. Because we have no other choice, our arms are behind our backs here, to interpret what he said when he says chatzi, other than to say that he's wants to marry half of her. Da'iyev sholomim, we have no other possibility to suggest the Haki Kamar law, he's saying to her, he can't be saying, you know, let you marry she another man, because that's impossibility. So the only other possibility he's saying is, even though he knows very well that she can't marry another man, is that I want to marry half of you. Whatever that means, again, I don't know what that means, but I want to marry half of you. If he says, I want to marry half of you, you can't marry half a woman. It's just excluded by the Torah of the Torah by the word Isha. V'lo chatzi Isha. Avol Ish, dekosav rachmana, lo lemait his kadshi lechetzi. There's no mirror image here, the parallel case where he says lechetzi. That can't be excluded. Da efshar, because we have the possibility, the Hachi Karmel, to explain his words. Di ve'ino lemitzvach nitina sivna, I will marry another woman. So then what do we do with the pasuk Ish? Again, let's just repeat the Rashba as he analyzes the Raivit. He's saying, if a man says to a woman, chetzieich, that has to be excluded under the pasuk Isha v'lo chatzisha, because the other alternative is to stretch his words to mean that let her marry a second man as well, but that's impossible, that's unthinkable, that's so the best you could do is to say that he wants to marry half of her. That he can't do because of the pasuk Isha v'lo chatzisha. What would be a parallel case of Ish v'lo chatzish, where he's marrying her off to half of him? If you're going to tell me it's a case where he says his kachi li lechetzi, no, we have every right in the world to interpret that in a valid way for him to allow himself to marry another woman. Therefore, we're stuck again, according to the Raivid. This is the Rashba's sweating it out to try to understand, piece together the Raivid. We're forced to say that this pasuk of excluding a chatzi ish is coming for a chatzi ish. Who is a chatzi ish?
A chatzi ish is
a chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin. We're talking half of him, and only half of him, will be married to this woman. So first the Rashba objects to the Rive, and he says, wait a minute, the Gemara in the Perakash Shalef, that's a gittin, has an entire sugya wondering what is the law of a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin who marries a Jewish girl. Is it valid kedushin? Is it not valid kedushin? Why didn't the Gemara quote the pasuk ish v'lo chatzi ish? And why did the Gemara derive from that a clear cut conclusion, which is not questionable, that the Torah excluded exactly this case? The Gemara wavers and vacillates back and forth without interpreting it, and it's impossible to say that the word ish v'lo chatzi ish is excluding a case of a ben chorin, a normal guy who says chetzeich his kachi lechetzi, because in such a case, what we think he means is ibay nisivach rini kamer. That's what he means. Did I underline anything else in the Rashba? Because I have the first printing here.
The last two lines.
Can I borrow that from you just for a minute? Yeah. And if you know what, before you give it to me, just underline it in yours, so that in case you have trouble finding it, it should start the ode. I'm only doing this for time expediency, because I want to focus on what I think is the main point in this Rashba.
But then it carries over to the next page.
Right. So I'll have to help you out on that. No, actually, it just goes straight on the next page, almost to the end of the paragraph. You don't have to be nervous about that. The ode...
No, but I'm saying the underlining continues on.
That's what I'm saying. I'm telling Ralph that, you know, he should know that from that point on that you underlined, it's very important, till the rest of the paragraph, okay? The ode, Duladivri Arabsal, I don't understand, says the Rashba. According to the Raivid, Havi Lon Lememar, we should have certainly concluded, the Isha de Kamemait Rachmana, Dumya de Chatzi Ish, Ulim Ute, de Vechetzi Shivcha Vechetzi Vaschorin Kamemait. I don't get it. If you're telling me that the word Ish, according to the Raivid, is excluding a case of a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, then the word Isha, by parallel, to be symmetrical about it, should reflect the exact same case by an Isha, namely a chetzi shivcha, chetzi vas chorin. Avol mekadish chatzi Isha, kevan dechaz yolei kula mekudeshes. Since he could have married the entire Isha, he could marry half of her. Again, he doesn't tell us what that means, marrying half of her. She can't marry another guy, that's for sure. But whatever this abstract thing, again, in the meantime, it's some sort of abstract concept for us. But whatever it is, he should be allowed to marry half a woman. Again, let's go over it. In the case of half a man, she could be married to half of him if he so stipulates, because there's no exclusion. There's no pasuk that says half a man can't enter into marriage. The pasuk is only referring to chetzi evid chetzi benchor, where the maximum that he could have done was to marry half of him. That the Torah doesn't accept. But the Torah would accept, according to the Ravid, so accuses the Rashba and the Ravid, of marrying, if a Ben Chorin who could have married his entire self to her, only marries half of him to her. And that's not excluded because the pasuk is used for Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. So why not say the same logic in the case of an Isha? And say the pasuk Isha doesn't exclude a man who could have married the entire woman because she's a Bas Chorin, and he chose to only marry half of her. Maybe the Torah recognizes that marriage. What does the Torah exclude by the pasuk Isha v'lo chatzi Isha? A woman whose maximum capability is to only marry half of her because she's a chetzi shivka, chetzi bas chorin. Umistava, therefore, I say, says the Rashba, that it's more logical to take a different approach. The hachi perusho, this is what Rava really means to say. Al karchin chetzieich mekudeshesli mishayer bekinyonohu. When a man marries half of a woman, we have to say that he's not entering into a full-fledged kinyan. He's holding back on his kinyan. That's called Meshayer B'kinyonu. D'hayyef shalomar d'ibayis l'mitzvah akrina mitzvah eskom Allah. We can't interpret it that he means to allow her to marry someone else. So is solabay treylo chazio. Because, quite clearly, she cannot marry another man. V'hacha, and here, hachi kamar. This is what the Gemara Rava means to say. Hasam, in the case of a woman, is solabei treylo chazia. Klomar, lav taima didi mishum isha v'lo chatzi isha, kidesal kasal kedaita. My logic is not based on a pasuk, as you, Abaye, thought, isha v'lo chatzi isha. No. Ela mishum shiura de mishayar b'kinyono, because a person cannot create this kind of half-baked kinyon. Because we cannot say the other possibility that he wants to allow her to marry someone else. Aval his kadshi lechetzi, if she should be married to half of him, lav mishayar b'kinyonuhu. That's not considered that he limits his kinyon. The hachi kamar la, because what he means to say is ibeina leminsev akrita inasivna. Should I choose to marry a second wife, I have the right to do it. The hechi dami chatzi ish kegon de mefarish la lechetzi mamash velo lekuli. Therefore, the Rashba says that the pasuk isha velo chatzi isha and the pasuk ish velo chatzi ish is talking not about Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, and all the rest, like the rival would have it, but about a case of a man who's marrying half a woman, or marrying half of himself off to a woman. In both of those cases, the Torah excludes it. And even though in the case of you marry, be married off to half of me, right, his Kachi Lil Chatzi, we could validate that condition if only he allows us to interpret his words to mean that you can marry a second, that, excuse me, that I allow myself to marry, the option of marrying a second wife. But if he says, mefarish, he says explicitly, lechetzi mamish, velo lekuli, he spells it out, then it would not be a valid kedushin. Based on this Rashba, I turn back to the Ravid, and I think, and here's for you to either fight me or agree with me. That's up to you. I can't force you. You know, there's no coercion here in this class. But what I think he's implying is that according to the Ravid, half of a man could marry a woman. Meaning, he could say his kadshi li lechetzi, and one of two possibilities. First possibility, which is the more plausible one, is that he's saying to her, I would like to marry another woman, and she accepts that condition. Fine. That's old hat. But the Ravid is opening the door for another possibility. That even if he were to say, to use the Rashba's language, Mefarish lo lechetzi mamish velo lekuli, he explicitly spells it out. You're married to half of me, and not to my whole being. The Rashba would exclude it. The Ravid would validate it. No, but you'll ask the Ravid, so what do you do with the pasuk? Ish v'lo chatzi ish. If you're telling me that he could marry her half of himself, The answer is that's for Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. That's for a case of someone who doesn't have the option of doing better than Chatzi Ish. In a Chatzi Ish situation where the Gavra only lends himself to Chatzi Ish. Again, we're not talking about the issues that he wants to achieve. We're talking now about the status of the person, the Mekadesh. If his status is such that the maximum that he has, that he's capable of, is Chatzi, then the Torah says Ish. You're a Chatzi Ish. You're excluded from marriage because the Torah says, who can take a wife? An Ish. You're not an Ish. But if someone is an Ish, but he only wants to enter into the marriage with half of himself, the Rebbe is willing to recognize that marriage. Turns around the Rashba, and he says, he attacks the Rashba on three different counts. Count number one, if that be the case, then in the Gemara in Gittin, the Gemara should have quoted this pasuk Ish v'lo chatzi Ish to exclude chatzi Isha, chatzi Eved, chatzi Ben Chorin. Number two, if the Ravid is correct, then let's find a parallel drasha in the case of Isha and exclude a chatzi Shivcha, chatzi Ben Chorin. And therefore, the third attack is Avol b'makadish chatzi Isha came in the chatzi l'kula mekudeshes. Then it should come out that according to you, that if your logic is that if a man marries a woman to half of him, that's a valid kedushin. Why? Because he has the possibility of marrying her off to his entire being, meaning he's included in the pasuk Ish. Why not say that when a man marries half of a woman, that kedushin should be valid because she is an Isha? Again, he wants to carve out a marriage to half of the Isha. That should be okay. He cannot allow her to marry someone else. That's completely out of the picture. But at least according to the Ravid, we should recognize that marriage. It's not like the case of Chetzi Shivcha, Chetzi Bas Chorin, who's excluded from the Pasuk Isha, because she's not an Isha in the sense of a full Isha. She's only got, with regard to marriage, the status of a half an Isha. And therefore, it should come out, according to the Rashba, that if a man marries half an Isha, it should be a valid Kedusha. So let's just again summarize the three objections of the Rashba against the Ravid. Number one, according to the Ravid, if the Pasuk Ish is excluding a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, the Gemara in Gittin should have quoted that Pasuk as an absolute determination of what the law would be in the case of a Chatzi Ish, of a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, which the Gemara does not do. The Gemara leaves it as an issue. Number two, why not apply the same standard and the same interpretation that you do in Ish to the case of Isha, and therefore you should use that pasuk of Isha to exclude a chetzi shivcha, chetzi bas chorin. You, the Ravid, are going with the logic that the pasuk Ish or Isha is excluding a person who's not an Ish, or an Isha who's not an Isha, and that's the chetzi of a chetzi shivcha case. If that be the case, a man could marry off a woman to half of him. He should be able, by the same token, to marry half a woman. And that's not something that's acceptable. Those, I think, are the objections of the Rashba against the Rashba.